want to greet you this morning again in the name of Jesus. Each one of those testimonies or the requests that were shared this morning, I thought were very appropriate. Mamie, that was appropriate. And Irma, what you shared about Lee, I look over and I see Lee sitting there and he's crying. The scripture came to my mind that we're a body. We cry with you, Lee. We ask God that he would work in your physical body. I want to share a little bit about the gentleman that Joe talked about that passed away. Years ago, when I was making donuts at Yoder's, he would come in a lot, and we would spend a lot of time talking. And I found out he has cancer. So he was down in Goshen at the hospital, and it didn't look like he was going to make it through that one. So I felt the Lord asking me to go talk to him. So I went down to Goshen, and I went to the hospital room. And he was laying in the bed. And I walked up to him and I said, do you know where you're going when you die? He got pretty serious. And he looked at me in the eye and he said, I do. He said, I know who my Savior is. So I have full confidence that he's with the Lord. I know he has struggles in life. We all do. But the confession that I know who my Savior is, that I know where I'm going, brings peace to us. We believe we know where Susanna's going. And for that reason, we can say, Lord, would you please give her her wish? That's not my message this morning. But I want to share a little testimony with you this morning. I just told my wife, and Tom can tell you about this, sometimes when we get up to preach, we're a little unsettled. We're not exactly sure where this is going to go, where it's going to end up at. So I leaned over to my wife, and I told her, I said, I'm not sure this morning. By that time, Carl Stauffer's youngest son come in. He doesn't know this, but he's carrying a little. Can you lift up that little thing he made in Sunday school? What does it say? It says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's what I needed. Thank you for holding that up. So I ask you to pray this morning that God would work, that God would work in my life as he has been, continue to work in each one of our hearts, that we can draw close to him. I've been sharing out of 1 John. We'd like to go to 1 John 2 again this morning. We've been looking at a couple of different things. Our last message, we actually talked about not loving the world. I'm going to go through a little bit of a difficult situation this morning. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in this because I want to go to what I call the call for this morning. I've titled my message this morning, Confidence at His Coming. Confidence at His Coming. We want to remember why John was writing this book. It was because there was some in the congregation, in their churches, that were believing a false doctrine. Some had come in and they were starting to share about a false doctrine. The doctrine they were sharing about had to do with that Jesus was not the Messiah. He was a good man, but he was not life. He was not the Messiah. So John is writing to them to let them know that that's false. Don't follow that teaching. And also to encourage them to follow what is truth. I'd like to begin in 1 John 2, verse 18. And there he says, little children. We're just going to stop with that one for a bit. And I look at that and I think, why is he calling them little children? That's kind of belittling, isn't it? But I believe maybe we call it a term of endearment. He had a love for these people. He held them close to his heart. So he says, little children, it is the last time. I remember growing up and hearing in our church many, many times that we are in the end times. Christ is coming back soon. It doesn't matter if we become very, very old. Life is short, very short. But it talks here about it is the last time. And we look at the end times as from when Jesus resurrected. We are in the end times. Today we're closer than we ever were before. We're in the end times. Many people have said that it is the 11th hour. He actually says here, it is the last time, which I look at that and I think, is it the last hour? Are we in the 11th hour? We don't know, but let's live like we are. He is coming back for us. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So he's talking here, the first word Antichrist here, I think he's talking about the Antichrist, which we have wondered about for so long already. Different people have said, oh, this is the Antichrist, or that is the Antichrist. But then he continues there, and he says, even now are there many Antichrists. And because of this, we know that it is the last time. So I want to know, who are those Antichrists? What is he talking about? The Antichrists. Let's jump over to verse 22. We're going to come back again, but jump over to verse 22. He says, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Again, he's referring back to those who were bringing in false doctrine. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So those that were denying that Jesus was the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, they were Antichrist. Denying. When I take my credit card or my debit card and I go to the gas pump and I put my debit card into the pump and it beeps and it says insufficient funds, that card is denied. It is not accepted because there's insufficient funds. When I put that card into the slot and it says, go ahead and pump gas, that means it is accepted. There's funds there for it. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. I had to think about this. I know this is kind of a weak way to explain this, but I can understand it. That card that was denied, let me just put it this way. Accepting what he gives to us, accepting the Father, accepting the fact that Jesus is his Son and that he's the one that gives us salvation, that is not denying. When we don't accept that, then we are denying. That's what was happening here. They were denying the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Let's go back to verse 19. This was a verse that I struggled with for quite a while, but I think it makes some sense. They went out from us. And again, he's talking about those that came in that were teaching a wrong doctrine. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. It looks like there was some that had left because of the teachings that were happening. I don't know, did they take a group with them or what happened here, but it looks like they left. Then verse 20, he says, this is who you are. You have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. And it's almost like he's reprimanding them just a little bit here. I'm going to put a little bit into how I understand this. You have an unction. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You understand the things. You're not dumb. You've been taught this stuff. You've been taught about salvation. You've been taught about Jesus being the Son of God. I have not written unto you because you don't know the truth. You understand the truth. But because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And then he talks about in verse 22, where we came back to, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. All of us here this morning, I shouldn't say all of us, the majority of us here this morning, there's some young ones here that probably don't understand yet. But we understand the truth. We've got the Word of God. We have access to understanding, to reading, to knowing what the truth is. And the question I have to ask myself this morning, is my life really showing that I believe Jesus is my Savior? I wonder sometimes in my own personal walk, as people talk to me, as I talk to them, and they leave and they go away, they go home, and they tell somebody else who they talk to. What is coming from, what did they glean from talking to me? What did they glean from talking to you this week? You had experiences this week where you talked to other people. What did you take home with you? Did it show by your walk this week, somebody talking to you, that you believe, that you know that Jesus is your Savior? This was what he was reminding them of. You know, you understand it. And his encouragement is coming here in verse 24. We'll go to that just in a little bit here. Verse 23 says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. That's a pretty serious verse. If I do not accept him, if my life shows that he is not Lord and Savior of my life, I don't have the Father. That's pretty serious if we think about it. I don't have the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. Now I'd like to go to verse 24. And this is where really I would like to focus on this morning. Verse 24 through verse 29. Verse 24 says, let that therefore abide in you. The word abide here talks about remaining, staying within you. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So I want to know, what's he talking about here? What is this that he says you heard from the beginning, and if it remains in you? Let's go back to the first chapter of 1 John. Let's see if we can find out what he's talking about. What is that thing that we heard, that they heard from the beginning? We're going to go back to 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. If you remember, I talked about this a little bit at the beginning when we started this series, that I think John was kind of excited. This is the one who we got to see with our own eyes. We got to touch him. We got to feel him. We got to be with him. The word of life. Then verse 2, he tells a little bit about what this was. My Bible, it's in parentheses. It says, for the life was manifested, the life of Jesus was shown to us. We saw it, and we bear witness. We want you to know about it. And we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. He's saying here, we receive that eternal life. We understand it. And it is so good. We want you to know about it. Am I that excited today? From what I've received from my Savior, that I want to share it with those around me. There's people all around us every day. We walk through town. We walk through the store. Wherever we're at, there's people that are leaving this earth and they're not going to go be with the Father. We have an answer. Am I excited about that? Am I sharing it with them? It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. When we have opportunity to share Jesus, I think we'll be surprised as we share how many people are actually hungry. There's many people that want to know. So that is what he's talking about in the beginning. Sorry, I need to get back to my scripture here. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. That which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, if that... Let me read that again. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. There's a connection there. There's a wholeness there. And then it says, I'm giving you a promise. This is the promise that he that promised unto us, even eternal life. And again, my mind goes back to John 3:16. I've used that verse different times here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has promised us eternal life. Can we hang on to that? Can we grasp that? That he came to give us life. That life begins here. And then we come to the end, we take that step across, and then we really realize what is eternal life. Oh, I would love to ask my mom and dad, what was it like? What was it like when you took that last breath? When you took God's hand and he led you? I think if all of us could get a glimpse of that, we would do what we can to walk with him and to share Christ's love. Verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Again, he's talking about those that were bringing in a false doctrine. But the anointing which ye have received, verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So what is this anointing? We also had back in verse 20, he said, but ye have an unction. That anointing, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. All of us have the Holy Spirit within us if we have received Christ. There's a scripture. A scripture I'd like to share with you about this. So I'm not finding the scripture that I wanted. Give me just a second here. Okay, it's not showing up, so we're going to pass that scripture. I'm not sure if all my notes printed correctly. I didn't go through them like I should have. When we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have that anointing. That is the Holy Spirit working in us. If we know the Father, if we have committed to him, if we are abiding in him, then we have the Spirit. If we have confessed him, we have the Holy Spirit within us. It's easy to take verse 27 and look at that and say, okay, so I have the Spirit, so nobody has to teach me. I don't need the church. I can do things on my own. There are some people that are like that. But I don't believe that's what he's saying, because we need the body. We see that taught different times in Scripture. We need each other. But we listen to the Spirit and we grow as we listen. We have the Word of God to go to. Verse 28, he says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's why I titled my message this morning, Confidence at His Coming. abide in him, that when he shall appear, is Jesus coming back? I've heard that all my life. Have you? We all hear it. He is coming back. Have you seen him come back yet? No. Maybe for individuals, but not for all of us as a body. But he is coming back. He has promised that to us. What is this confidence that he's talking about? Ephesians 3 verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. This is talking about today. That curtain was removed. We can now boldly come into him. And we can communicate with him. We can talk to him. We can bring our needs and our desires to him. And he promises that he's going to answer us. How many times am I facing things in life and I forget that verse? I try to face things by myself. Joe made a comment of that this morning. We try to face something on our own, and God reminds us, you need me. You can't do it by yourself. I'm sure we could all share stories this morning of times where we have tried on our own and we fell flat on our face. He's waiting for us to come to him. But he says there's a confidence that we can have. I'd like for us to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We talk about Jesus coming. And I just want to read from verse 7 to the end. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And when I think about that, it almost gives me chills. When he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure in his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture tells us without a doubt that he's coming. It gives a pretty negative picture here. We're not going to end on that, but we need to face the fact that there is a negative picture for those who are not walking with Christ, those who are choosing their own direction. I'd like for us to, I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to read this out of the NLT. If you have the NLT, you may follow along. And if you don't, you can listen. But talking here about having confidence, and I know this is a little bit of a lengthy chapter. It's 18 verses, I believe. Paul here was talking about the struggles that he's facing in life. We face struggles. And sometimes our confidence is shaken. But I want us to listen to what Paul had to say here in all the struggles that he faced. Verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, It is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Christ may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. What a picture Paul paints here of the struggles and trials that he's going through. But he knows that he has a confidence in the end. Verse 14, I want to reread verse 14. It says, "We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus," we understand that pretty clear, don't we? "Will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you." And as I thought about that, I thought about each one of us sitting here this morning. That same God that raised Jesus from the dead is going to raise each one of us that's sitting here this morning. If we know him, he's going to raise each one of us. He knows our name. I hope and I pray that every one of us are going to be called one day, when we die, that he will raise us up with that same power. I'm going to close this morning with a couple of verses out of Jude. We came across these verses in the Sunday school class as I was teaching the youth class. I've been thinking on these verses for quite a while already. I just need to share them with you. They have blessed me so much. Jude 1, verse 24 says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." That's the verse that I'd like for us to think on for a bit. He's the only one that is able to keep us from falling. We can't do it on our own. We can try as hard as we like to, but he's the only one that can keep us from falling. But then he says this. He said he's going to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. He's going to present you faultless, myself and you, if you keep walking with the Lord. That brings us joy. To know that our life here today is not for nothing. He's going to present us before him. And look what he says at the end. With exceeding joy. He's going to call your name and present you. This is one of yours. With exceeding joy. That blesses my heart. To know that he loves me so much. That's in my future. If I continue my walk with the Father. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Sometimes we think of heaven as being a place of, floating angels. Everybody before the throne, praising and worshiping. And let's be honest, it sounds a little bit like, that's all we're going to do? I think there's going to be a sense that we don't realize today, a sense of worship. Yes, we have worship. Sam talked about worship in his last message. So important. We have worship today. But there's going to be a sense of worship when we are in his presence. No, it's not going to be boring. It's not going to be tiresome. And I don't know what all is going to take place when we get there. But I'm one that doesn't want to miss that. I want to be in the presence of my Father. Confidence at his coming. Am I living life today so that I can actually say with joy that I'm confident when he comes back, I know where I'm going. Would you stand with me this morning? Jay, I'd like for you to lead number 382 after we have prayer in the black book. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much this morning for sending your Son. Lord, we have received so much. And you've told us that we can be confident if our walk is honoring you. God, we can't do it on our own. We've tried. We've all probably got stories where we failed. But we're so thankful, Lord, that you don't give up on us. You continue to draw us close. I pray, Father, for each one of us here this morning that we would not miss that call. But that you would present each one of us here individually with exceeding joy. We bless you. We thank you so much for the plan that you have made available for us. We just want to honor you this morning and worship you. We want to thank you too, Lord, for the meal that's prepared. We ask that you would bless the food, bless our conversation. Help us, Father, to keep our hearts and minds focused on you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.